This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Wake up!
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up. Good morning, roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
It's opening day. It's opening day. Let's go. It's Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy in for Joe Spadoni. We're getting fired up for Giants freaking baseball in Cincinnati today. 110 first pitch. Logan Webb on the bump. Fresh cut grass. The baselines.
There's nothing.
The chalk.
Like fresh cut grass.
The crack of the bat. A hot dog.
It's the
garlic
best.
Fries. Oh, this is the best day of the year, Joe.
The only way it can get better is if you're walking into Oracle Park, okay? I always want to call it AT&T. It's the smell of weed, as well as all of those things that you're talking about as you're coming across that bridge.
Oh,
is it
yeah.
not?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then someone's trying to sell you a $10 Let Timmy Smoke shirt and a bag of sunflower seeds that's like the size of a backpack for $25.
That I'll eat like a tenth of and then throw it away.
Yeah, it's so true. It is so true. I am so pumped up for today. And the best part about a day like today is after your team wins, because I'm hoping the Giants are going to win today, you get to watch all the highlights all around baseball. Like, we're 1-0. Like, we're
undefeated.
Top of the division.
Undefeated.
It's the best. It
Never
really
lie.
Is. And you know what? Like, there's a big, like, culture shift. I come walking out, and I go, oh, what's up, Steiny? And Steiny, you know. Exactly. And he goes, Buster Posey. I mean, boy, he's got a marriage. They got a runway here. And he's right. There is a honeymoon period right now for Giants fans. I was so angry with the team for so long. I love baseball. You know this about me. Like, I love baseball. Yeah, my answer used to be like, oh, what's your favorite sport? Well, what season is it? That's what I'm like most invested into at that particular time. Where's my team at a given time? But the older I get, the more I realize probably baseball is my number one love. Although it's hard to say football isn't, you know, or basketball isn't. But I guess now, like, as I get older and I see my kid and I do all this coaching and I miss my dad and all those things that I bake into it, because I think of my dad with baseball. That was his number one love by far. And it's like, I hated the team for so long, the Giants, because I despised what they represented. Mm. Let me overthink the game at every single level. Oh, we're going to platoon here, and we're gonna outsmart you there. Dog, make plays. Get on base. Hit the ball hard. Barrel it up. Throw strikes. All the things that are my baseball principles.
Don't commit errors.
Exactly.
Steal a base here and there.
That's playing. Like, I talk to the kids all the time. I go, the game is simple. It's a game of catch. Pitcher with catcher. Infield with first base. Outfield with their cutoffs. The team that plays catch the best always wins. Think about it. It's like, we'll plug you to tackling. Like, we do that and, you know, making baskets. It's a shot makers league. Baseball's playing catch, right? And so, yeah, the Giants didn't play catch well. They led baseball in errors year after year after year. They had a bunch of guys out of position who couldn't field their position. They didn't throw strikes. They employed openers left and right. They platooned all over the place. I watched Joey Bart rip one off the wall. Only to get pinch hit for him the very next at bat. I go, the guy hasn't, he's starting to see the ball, he's starting to barrel things up. You know, from a psychological standpoint, once you finally get a hit, you feel like you're never going to make an out again. And you're going to take me out of the lineup right when I'm about to do that? Like, all of the things that I held as principles of my baseball philosophies were all dismissed by the prior regime. And now that you bring in Buster Posey, I feel like, and look, they still are going to do some things that I don't agree with, you know, based on numbers and whatnot. But I feel like 9 times out of 10, when I see a shortstop who's going to play every day, and a third baseman who's going to play every day, and a center fielder who's going to play every day, and a left fielder who's going to play every day, that is more Giants baseball that appeals to me, Joe Shasky, the common fan who's been watching this team my entire life.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, as the younger generation who was a kid still when the Giants won in 10, 12, and 14, especially in 10, that was not my introduction, but like I was spoiled as a kid watching the Giants because they won those three championships when I was still pretty darn young. And then you had to go through the rest.
The dark days.
The 10 years since then.
I know.
Or, you know, they went to the playoffs in 16, and that was a terrible ending against the Cubs. But everything else since then has just been absolutely terrible. And they've been the worst combination of average at best, but also playing the worst brand of baseball that you could possibly play.
And boring.
Which
is the worst way to be.
They could have the same record this year. They could win like 80 games this year. I guarantee you it would be easier to watch.
Okay. Okay.
Like, but we want them to win more games,
of
obviously.
Course.
But it's going to be easier to watch, and you're going to have more fun watching them. That's very honestly how I feel about this.
But here's the hard part for me, right? Like, when you won the three championships, I was hoping that you would be one of the haves, using all of your resources to the fullest, and be able to parlay that into being, like, the way the Warriors view themselves now, during the Steph Curry era, is like, we're never going back to what we used to be. I got the sense that the Giants throttled down during the Farhan era, financially, and just how they viewed themselves. Like, they didn't want to keep pushing the pedal to the metal.
They should never not have a top 10, top 6 payroll.
I think it's unacceptable to not be in the top 8. Unacceptable. Given that now the A's are going to move out of the market, and you have all of the money.
Yeah.
It's inexcusable, quite frankly. And the stadium's paid off. Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't ever want to hear it again. And so, yeah, like, as that's going down, the Dodgers have literally won the division 1,000 times in a row. And it's hard to grasp as a Giants fan. And then to see the San Diego Padres leapfrog you in terms of excitement and connectivity to their own community, it's been a tough 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah.
It really has. And finally, I feel like we're coming out of that slumber as a fan base. And I'm just pumped for today because I think it's day one of the Posey era.
Yeah, I'm pumped for today too. And we can get into where the Giants stand in the National League in a little bit. We got a lot of calls to get to. First, though, I wanted to shout out everyone watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Shout out Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Great to have him involved here at 95.7 The Game. Plus, we got Dave Fleming coming up at 8:30, so in about 20 minutes, We'll chat with the voice of the Giants about all things Giants as they get ready for the season in Cincinnati today. Plus, we got Dave Dravecki, Giants legend, coming up at 9:20 as well. But out to the phone lines, it's the Morning Roast. Joe Shasky, I'm Mark Grandy, in for Joe Spadoni. Up next is Travis in Vallejo.
What's up, Travis?
Travis, how you doing?
What you got, dog?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Today I'm feeling a little bit nostalgic, just thinking about my grandparents who've passed. But I remember, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, sitting in their little living room, watching baseball at 7 o'clock in the evening, and them not being able to speak a lick of English, but just sharing the same passion and love, you know, for the Giants. One of my favorite players growing up was Marvin Bernard.
Wow. Mm.
He wore that pine tar helmet.
Yep.
I remember I used to be in Little League and I would rub my helmet in the dirt because I wanted my helmet to be the same way. So, you know, that was kind of a player that I was thinking about. And then something I'm looking forward to is just this young team kind of putting on a show to recruit, you know, some stars to come out here next year. Hopefully we can put together a good season. And hopefully we can attract some players out here.
You know,
Thanks, Travis.
I appreciate you bringing up your family. Football, you need your family. You need, like, a lot of people to be able to play football. You can't just go into the backyard and play. Like, yeah, you can play catch with the football, yeah. But, like, real football, you need – it requires a lot of other people. You know, basketball, you could shoot hoops by yourself. Baseball – like, you have to play catch with someone. And I think it's the most familial of all of the sports.
Yeah.
And most people have it passed down to them by a father, an uncle, a brother, a mom, a grandparent, or whatever. And, like, when he brought up his grandparents, like, I started getting teary-eyed thinking about my dad. Because, like, this is one of my dad's favorite days of the year. And I just think about him sitting upstairs at 607 London, where my mom's still at, and I probably shouldn't put out the address, but up in the upstairs chair, he'd be sitting up in his chair, hate watching the team that he loves more than anyone on the planet.
Hate watching.
Mad that this guy and that guy is swinging through a pitch and not hitting the cutoff and can't throw strikes, and why are you going to this guy when you're going to no sport with a mundane amount of games that they have makes you so irate with a meaningless play in the fourth inning than baseball. It's just, I love the sport.
It's the best. Like, I saw this post. I don't know if it was a TikTok or whatever, but it was a fan watching their team choke away a regular season NFL game. And you're like, oh, it's okay. We'll get them next week. And then it's game 27 out of 162 in baseball. And you're like, oh, my God!
Dude,
you blew it in the ninth inning! This team is never going to win! There's no, like, just pain like baseball pain. But there's also no joy like baseball joy.
It's the greatest.
And you share it with your family. 100%. Everyone has those stories.
If I just say to you guys, Mark Melanson, you get enraged.
I'm going to walk out of the studio.
Exactly. If I say this name, Armando Benitez, you get enraged. Do you not?
Yes.
Enraged.
For my dad, it was Felix Rodriguez because of 2002.
AJ Pierzynski.
AJ Pierzynski. Like, we hate baseball players more than we love other players in other sports. It's unreal.
There's nothing like it.
I love when people share their connection to the game. So I love hearing from the fans.
Yeah. Let's hear from more of them. Tori is in Oakland.
What's up, Tori?
Favorite Giant of all time. What are you looking forward to this year? Tori, what's up?
What's up, y'all? I got a couple of two names for you. Of course, Barry's the GOAT. We all love Barry.
Absolutely.
Benito Santiago. Mm.
Let's go.
Throwing people out from his knees.
Yep.
I have a memory of watching Benito just rip one in the left. And he threw his bat down, like not a bat flip like they do today. He threw the bat down and acted like he just picked up a hot cast iron skill. Like, and that was just a beautiful moment. And then another name I got for you is Andres the Big Cat Galarraga. I remember being a kid and being like, is he going to touch the Coke bottle? Is he going to be the one to touch the Coke bottle?
I totally agree.
So those are some players that were hitting for me. Question for y'all. As an A's fan, I grew up a Giants fan when I was real little.
Yeah.
As an A's fan most recently, there's a lot of us that are feeling a little floaty. As long as Fisher's owning that team, pretty hard to like them. So give me a pitch on why all these floaty Bay Area fans, there's a lot of us, loyalists to baseball who want to get out to the ballpark, why the Giants this year? Well, why should we jump on?
Here's what I would say is I don't ever want to tell someone how to root or how to fan.
Thanks, Tori.
Like, how you feel is how you feel. And, like, if you still have a connection to the A's for X, Y, and Z reasons, like for me, if the Giants had moved away today, just hypothetically, it'd be really easy for me to say on air, oh, I hate them, I hate them. And then when I see the uniform out there, the Giants at least, if it said St. Petersburg or something, I would feel differently. It'd be hard to not think of my dad, right? Yeah. And like, all those memories still exist, and the love of the game still exists. So I'm never going to tell someone how to feel. If you're jaded and you're never going to go back to the A's, so be it. What's the pitch on the Giants? Independent of you having your own thoughts, the pitch is pretty simple. It's a whole new era of baseball that's going on right now. And they've got a lot of guys that love the game and play it the right way. And we have a lot of unknown young players who could maybe be good. And that's what I would say. You got Verlander, all-time gunslinging legend. It's like coming in to the OK Corral as a grizzled vet. All right. Logan Webb. What is there to not like about Logan Webb? Goes about it the right way. Got a 1990s mentality in terms of the innings and the logs and give me the ball. I'm going 7. I'm going 8. Very few guys do that in today's game. Then you look at Matt Chapman. He's going to play every single day. Yeah, he's going to strike out a lot. Plays elite defense. No nonsense. Head down. Leads by example. Make any play, dynamic glove and arm, just an absolute stud in the middle of your lineup in terms of driving the ball. Willy Adames, all the same things about Chapman with more flair and definitely more effervescence. And then I look at Elliot Ramos, kind of plays the game the way Chapman plays the game. Very head down, no nonsense, isn't as flashy, grinder type of a guy. Kind of got a 1980s feel to him. Patrick Bailey. Plays the catcher position in a way, athletically, I've almost never seen. And then Jung Hoo Lee's a complete wild card. You got guys like Luciano, wild card. Wisenhunt, wild card. Eldridge, wild card. Matos, wild card. Fitzgerald, kind of a wild card to me. So that's what they are right now. They're a mix of young, old, and good.
Yeah, I think for me, the selling point, and we haven't maybe seen this yet, but I think beginning this year and then going into the future, if you start rooting for the Giants, and again, what you said is spot on, like, if you still got feelings for the A's, like, that's a difficult thing.
I'm not going to tell you to leave.
However you feel, but if you're looking for a reason for the Giants, I think now, this year, and we saw a little bit of it last year with Ramos, you're going to have an opportunity to grow and learn to love a lot of young players that are about to come through. You're going to, like, 5 years from now, there's going to be a group of young players that are hopefully at that point established that you feel a real emotional connection to.
The other cool thing, everyone looks good in black. And our colors are black and orange. And honestly, you can't, outside of the City Connects, you can't mess up the colorways for the Giants.
They tried their hardest, and they did. We're going to go back to the calls in a sec, but I do have the Giants opening day lineup.
Oh, today's?
Yes.
Give it to me.
From Alex Pavlovich, our friend at NBC Sports Bay Area.
Give it to me.
Giants opening day lineup.
All right.
Lamont Wade leading off and playing first base.
Told you guys.
We got it right. Batting second and playing shortstop, the newest Giant, Willy Adames.
Okay.
Batting third and out in center, Jung Hoo Lee.
Okay.
Matt Chapman playing third and batting cleanup.
Got all those right.
Followed by Elliot Ramos
in
left field, batting fifth. The sixth spot is the catcher, Patrick Bailey.
Okay, they're going to go lefty.
Yeah, Bailey batting sixth.
Even though he's a switch hitter, keep going.
Wilmer Flores DHing and batting seventh.
Mm-hmm.
Yastrzemski
called that
batting eighth and playing in right, and then Tyler Fitzgerald playing second, batting ninth with Webb on the bump.
I love it.
So it's Wade, Adames, Lee, Chapman, Ramos, Bailey, Flores, Yaz, and Fitz. That's the nine.
Hey, I'm not mad at it.
You guys want the Reds lineup just for fun?
Yeah, give it to us.
All right, so leading off, the lefty in center field, TJ Friedl, then batting second at second base, Matt McClain. Ellie De La Cruz batting third at shortstop. Gavin Lux, the former Dodger, he'll be in left field batting cleanup. Jamer Candelario will be the DH. He'll be batting fifth. Batting sixth at first base, Christian Encarnacion Strand. Batting seventh at third base, Santiago Espinal. Batting eighth in right field will be Jake Fraley. And the catcher batting ninth, Jose Trevino.
The guy on the mound, Hunter Green, 2.75 ERA last year. 150 innings, almost 170 strikeouts. So high strikeout guy. This is a big one. They're missing their everyday second baseman and catcher currently. Like, those guys are just out for some period of time. Guys that no one would ever hear of, so don't worry. The name of, you know, I said it, you wouldn't even recognize it. Eli De La Cruz is the headliner here.
Oh, yeah. It's maybe the most athletically gifted baseball player in, like, for a very, very, very long time.
Dare I say, like, Victor-ish, you know, in terms of, like, 6'5".
Like, outlier.
Yeah.
Physically.
A-Rod was 6'3", and we thought he was a monster at shortstop and could run. This guy's even faster. And A-Rod, I think, is the most gifted baseball player of all time.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
Eli De La Cruz is special.
Yeah.
Special. 888-957-9570. It's opening day. We're getting pumped. We got a lineup. We have an opening day lineup for the Giants. Let's go. Let's go back out to the phones. NorCal Mike is in Yuba City. What's up, NorCal Mike? How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you. And bear with me. First time caller here.
Well, but thanks for calling.
Just as excited. Yeah, thank you. Just as excited as Joe. It's like Christmas morning. This is a breath of fresh air after all the Warriors talk. And I appreciate you, Randy, giving me the heads up. I set my alarm for baseball talk this morning for 6 a.m. So
hey,
here we
I
are.
Got you.
Sharing dad stories. So my dad was an A's fan, and he had A's season tickets, even though I was a Giants fan. But he would take me to the Coliseum, so I grew up at the Coliseum and just fell in love with all kinds of baseball players, Griffey, all the guys. But Nolan Ryan was my favorite pitcher. Mm. And so getting to my favorite Giants player, you know, I love those hard-nosed players. Nolan was untouchable. And then to see Will Clark come up against Nolan Ryan, you know, just unfazed. And, you know, I'm no historian, but I believe he hit his first home run off Nolan Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
And it just, I fell in love with Will Clark that day and just that hard-nosed two guys just going at it, and neither one wanted to give in, you know. What I'm excited for this year, you know, I really liked Ramos last year. I'm so happy to be out of the Farhan era, but, you know, seeing the silver lining, the forest through the trees, you know, Ramos, Fitzgerald, we had some good pieces last year. I'm excited to see those guys, excited to see Adames come in, and maybe we get a 30 home run hitter. You know, it's been a long time. Maybe we get a 30 home run hitter this year. Also excited to see the young arms. You know, it kind of reminds me of the Lincecum, Bumgardner, Kane days, just to see those young arms come in. You never know which one's going to hit.
Totally.
Thanks, NorCal Mike. I mean, you get a couple of arms from your farm system that hit, it turns your entire franchise around. We say they won in 10 and 12 and 14. You know how much of a grind those teams had to be on offense?
And why did it end?
Because the pitchers stopped pitching well.
They went into free agency and overspent year after year after year.
Shout out Jeff Samardzija.
Johnny Cueto. You know, they were going after Greinke. They didn't get Greinke. They brought Hudson back after winning a championship, and he was cooked.
Jake Peavy.
Same thing, right? Like, so, you know, it's starting pitching when it's young and it's cheap. It's the equivalent to this sport of what a quarterback on a rookie deal is in the NFL.
Like the last 2 years for the Niners with Brock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, because if you go out in free agency and overspend, you're probably not gonna. You're gonna have bloated contracts. You see, like Yamamoto making $300 and he never pitched ever in Major League Baseball. It's just an insane number to me. It's insane. Gerrit Cole, who's been good for the Yankees, on the shelf, probably gonna be done for the year.
He is done for the year.
You know, like it's $300 million invested into him.
Yeah.
If you can get a guy making $1 million who can win you 12 to 15 games and has an under 3 ERA, you are cooking with hot grease.
Yeah, and you could have a below-average offense, and you could still win a World Series, or at the very least, be in the postseason and have a shot, because
no doubt.
Pitching wins in the postseason.
And there's just something electric about a firearm that's young, and Hunter Green's one of those guys that you're going to see today. Paul Skeens is the reason.
He's on a different level.
He's the reason why Pirates fans think that they could have a special season.
Shout
one guy.
To Guru. You'll hear him in 2 hours.
Well, but they have a lot of pieces. You know, they do. They have a lot of pieces. Reynolds and Cabrian and O'Neill's going to play. They got a lot, right? But it's Paul Skeens. He's a game changer. He's unbelievable.
In terms of a player's value, not just this year, but like for the rest of their career, considering how good he is now and his age, he's the most valuable asset in baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Considering how young he is.
I might argue Bobby Witt or Gunner, but
I can hear
you're close. They're all in the... Wow, I mean, that's...
He's already, like, one of, if not the best pitcher in baseball, and he has, I mean, if he stays healthy, at least 15 years ahead of him.
He's probably the first pitcher off the board.
Yeah.
If we're going, like, fantasy draft style, right?
Scooble, I mean...
I'm taking Skeens over Scooble right now.
Yeah.
And Scooble's great. I'm just saying, like, if we're going top 10, a lot of position players, and then he's probably the first. Yeah. If not first, maybe he's the second.
Yeah, at worst.
At worst.
At worst. 888-957-9570. Happy opening day. Favorite Giant of all time? What are you looking forward to see from this Giants team this year? Let us know. Up next is Ryan in Castro Valley. What's up, Ryan?
What's up,
how you
Ryan?
Doing?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Pumped.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw out a favorite Giant that never got as much accolades as they should have got, Kirk Reeder.
Ooh, Woody.
A great one.
I love Woody.
Yeah. I mean, he took the ball every fifth day, made 30 starts a year, pitched 190 innings a year for like 8 years straight. And he couldn't touch 90 on the radar gun.
And he had a great glove. You know, he had a great glove. Worked super quick. My favorite kind of pitchers are the ones that pitch with guile. Ted Lilly, Terry Mulholland, Kirk Reeder. Like, those types I always have a soft spot for. I just do. Shout out young Guido, who's somewhere out there. I used to joke with him, and he was our Kirk Reeder. I know, you're laughing, but it's the truth.
Kirk Reeder was great.
Oh, dude, he was a great Giant.
Easy to root for. I've never met someone who didn't like Kirk Reeder.
Bonds' favorite teammate.
Yeah. Yeah. Kirk Reeder was great. Awesome, awesome Giant. All right. We got a lot to get to still here on the Morning Roast. We got Dave Fleming coming up next. Voice of the Giants will break down every angle of this Giants team with Dave Fleming on this great day. It's opening day across Major League Baseball. Plus, we are going to catch up with Dave Dravecki in a little less than an hour at 9:20. That's coming up next hour as well. Plenty to get into and more time for your calls after Dave Fleming at 888-957-9570. That is what's coming up on the game. It's brought to you by Saramonte Ford. That's Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy, in for Joe Spadoni. Plenty more to get to on opening day right here on 95.7 The Game.
No, not in
no
game.
No one came closer than the big cat.
I mean, the home run the other night that went down the right field line into the water was one of the farthest balls I've ever seen hit in McCovey Cove.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was, you know, Coke bottle distance, but yeah, that one, that was a shot.
That was a shot.
I was hoping in the 07 home run derby we were going to get something from Vladdy, but nobody came close.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We might say... Got some big bats coming to Oracle Park this year. Maybe someone will reach the glove, but we'll find out. Let's go out to Cincinnati because we've got the voice of the Giants on the line. It is Dave Fleming who joins us now on the River Islands guest line. And Dave Fleming is brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today. Dave, great to have you on. It's Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy, in for Joe Spadoni today. How you doing? Happy opening day, Dave.
Happy opening day. It's like Christmas morning. For those of us who care about this game, it's a great day. I was up. In fact, Logan Webb was up with me. We were in the lobby at like 7:30 a.m. going, now what? We got 8 hours until the game. What do we do? It's hard to sleep today. I'm excited.
Yeah, and I think it's appropriate you bring up Logan Webb because I'm looking at this team right now. And look, you know, it's Giants fans have been in a malaise for quite some time. But I'm looking up and I'm trying to tell these people in the area, like, hey, look, I hear you and I feel you. But things are a-changing. Logan Webb is a stud. I mean, he has led baseball in innings year after year, it feels like. And now you've got Adamas and Chapman and Jung-Hoo Lee and Ramos and Bailey, and we'll see when Fitzgerald is second base. But you've got at least five locked in, ready to go, everyday players. Things are changing. We should feel optimistic. It's day one of Buster Posey's whole new regime here, and I feel it. Do you guys feel it being with the team?
Oh, 100%. I mean, there's a huge amount of optimism inside the team. Now, you know, the games start, and sometimes you get slapped with some cold reality. And I think Buster's kind of tempering. You know, I think Buster's very happy with the way everything has gone this camp. It's been a highly successful spring training. I think he really feels like there's been buy-in from everybody, front office, coaches, players, how we want to play, how we want the Giants to look on the field, what style of play, what, you know, what things are we emphasizing? There's been a huge amount of buy-in, but I think Buster also is enough of a realist to know, like, look, the games start, and, you know, usually the team with the best players wins, and it's hard to win at this level. And so, you know, that feeling can go away temporarily, you know, if you don't win games. I think what Buster's trying to build, though, is a belief in that culture that rides out no matter how the on-field results are. And I think that's what he believes is sustaining. If you build that identity as a franchise, as a team, then you ride the waves of ups and downs and get through it better on the other side. And you accumulate more and more good players like the ones you just talked about. I mean, you didn't even mention there's a whole group of younger guys, pitchers especially, who have a chance to be a huge part of the Giants' future. You know, starting with the guy who won the fifth starter spot, Landon Root, but Hayden Birdsong is supremely talented. The pitching staff's too talented for Kyle Harrison, who has had a really solid start to his big league career. He didn't even make the team. So there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic as the season starts.
Flem, one of those reasons is the guy that you guys both just talked about, Willy Adames. Specifically, what is he going to bring to this team? I mean, he's about to make his Giants regular season debut. I think a lot of us baseball fans know the kind of player that he is, but his impact goes beyond the stats that he puts up. What does Willy Adames mean to this Giants team this year?
We'll see, but I mean, already the energy level, the enthusiasm, I mean, this is a sport of attrition. Baseball is such a grind, and I think it's really hard for anybody who doesn't put the uniform on to really understand what those players go through for 6 months of every single day, essentially, having to get ready for a game, prepare your body, go through the punishment, the injuries, the dings, whatever, and do it day after day after day. It's an incredible grind, and this guy just has an ability to show up every day like Matt Chapman does with a smile on his face, with a bounce in his step. That is a skill, big time. And so, you know, there's something about that just is infectious, almost in like a shaming way, like, hey, I can do it. You guys can do it too. So I think that's kind of maybe the off-field stuff that you're talking about, or the non, you know, stats production stuff. But the other part of it is that the Giants did not get production from their shortstop spot last year. Now they did for the, you know, the month that Tyler Fitzgerald was red hot. They got a lot of it, and they played pretty well during that stretch. And so he's just going to be a massive upgrade over what they've had out there the last few years. And he's going to be in there every day. And the Giants really believe like they have the best left side of the infield in the game. And, I think he's a great fit with the Giants. Great fit for what they want to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there's a lot of, I mean, the two guys, Adames and Chapman, like you said, I think we kind of know that their baseball card, these are really good to great ball players every day. Jung-Hoo Lee, I feel like this first couple of weeks, couple of months are really important for him to get off to a hot start. How critical is it for him to have a fully healthy season?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, for me, at least at the beginning of the year, you know, let's get the body right and prove to himself that he can be out there every day. You know, the Giants want him to be an everyday guy, but it's been a few years now for him. I mean, he's only 25 years old, but it's been a few years for him, and that it does, you start to get a little worried about that, I think. Not that, it, you know, the shoulder injury last year was a fluke. Like, it was just a fluky play. But, you know, then the back thing this spring, and he had the foot thing before he came to MLB. So I think for me, the first part of the year is let's just see him out there every day and get him used to that grind of a big league season and go from there. Because I think he's still, you know, you and I have talked about it. Like the worst part about last year for me was he missed his learning year. He missed his year of reps and learning the league and learning the ballparks. We saw Jung-Hoo. I mean, he played so many of his games indoors as a pro in Korea that outdoor day games were a struggle for him. And it's not like he botched plays, but like he needs reps of looking up into the bright sun at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with the wind blowing. You got to go through that. And that's what he lost last year. So I'm not expecting like an MVP season from him statistically, because I still think he's got some learning to do to get to a higher level. I just want to see him stay on the field and do that learning firsthand. And I think that'll be a huge success. I really believe in the guy's talent level. I think he is a very talented athlete. He's much stronger than he looks in uniform. You know, you watch him from the stands and you kind of think he's not a big guy. And then you stand next to him and go, okay, that's different. He is a twitchy athlete who's got a combination of athleticism and true baseball skill. I think his ceiling is really high.
Voice of the Giants, Dave Fleming with us here on the Morning Roast on opening day as the Giants get set to do battle with the Reds in Cincinnati. Dave, you talked about the young pitchers that this Giants team has. I mean, Kyle Harrison didn't even make the opening day roster, and Hayden Birdsong's in the bullpen, and I know you're a fan of Landon Root. But beyond Logan Webb, I mean, there are fair questions about everybody else in the starting five. Verlander's 42, and Robbie Ray has Tommy John in the recent past, and then you've got Jordan Hicks, who hasn't pitched as a starter in a full season, and then you've got the young guys. So what do you expect from this starting group, obviously beyond Logan Webb? He's going to give you 30 starts, but how do you expect the other four positions to shake out this year?
Well, the path to the Giants being a really good team this year is through those guys, and not just those five. I mean, it's, you know, almost a 100% certainty that it'll be more than those five who constitute the Giants starting staff this year. But the path for the Giants to be a really good team right now, I mean, you know, I'm not saying this is a building year. The Giants have playoff expectations, but they are building towards something even more sustainable than what they have right now. But the path this year is those guys carrying the water, and they can do it. Justin Verlander looks like, I'm not saying he looks like MVP Verlander, because that guy was on a different plane, but he looks like the guy from 2 years ago who was still one of the better pitchers in the league. And Robbie Ray looks really good and healthy, and I think in better shape than he was. Last year he was really strong. I think this year he looks like he's in better shape, sort of different conditioning coming into this year. Hicks, almost the opposite way. Jordan looks stronger to me, and he's got this sort of idea that he's going to let it all hang and not kind of dial back like he did last year. I mean, he's going to throw – I'm not saying he's going to throw like a closer at all times, but I think he's going to be more max effort as a starter. I have high hopes for that group. I think they've got way more upside than most baseball experts are giving them credit for.
I would agree with you, and I understand all of the red flags and everything. I love Hayden Birdsong so much. I want him to get into that rotation at some point. I'm looking at the bullpen though, Flem, and obviously Ryan Walker was excellent last year. Excellent. The guy who really disappointed and became extremely polarizing was Camilo Duvall. And I've only seen a couple of games, you know, because they've only broadcasted so many. He looks completely different to me. His mechanics look clean. He doesn't look rattled by the pitch clock. He wasn't shaking off the catcher 7 or 8 different times. He was throwing strikes. He had an awful season last year, almost a 5 ERA. I feel like he's the biggest bounce back candidate on the team. And if he's good to great, this bullpen can be great. What do you think when I say that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and I think he's a big X factor for this team, because we sort of know going in what kind of games are the Giants going to be playing. The Giants are not going to be playing a lot of 10 to 8 games. They aren't. Ballpark dictates that. The roster dictates that. So they're going to be playing close games and lower scoring games. And if you have Walker, Rogers, Duvall, forget everybody else. I mean, they have other talented arms. Randy Rodriguez has a lot of upside. Eric Miller had a great year last year. I'm putting those guys aside. If you just have in the final three innings in whatever combo you need to use him day to day. Walker, Doval at his, you know, regular level, and Tyler Rogers, that's an awesome combo. You can win a ton of games late by just having those three. But the key is Camilo's got to be himself. And I don't know. You and I talked a lot about this last year. I don't want to say something that sounds too harsh or too mean, but I could see it coming last year. He just wasn't as focused as he needed to be. I don't know why that was. I'm not putting the blame necessarily solely on him. You're an athlete. You got to take some of that blame. Whatever was going on, you could see it coming. And a lot of it was that lack of attention to details, whether it was warming up on time or base runners at first. Now, is he going to be perfect at that stuff this year? I don't know that he is. But I do believe he's in a better frame of mind to be a dominator than he was last year. So for him, we know the talent level. Guy's got an amazing arm. It's that other stuff that needs to get cleaned up, and I think it's mostly been cleaned up.
You know, it's funny that you kind of subtly threw that in there. It's not just Camilo. A lot of these guys, they struggle to hold runners on, and then they have the high leg kick, and it makes it nearly impossible for Bailey to be able to throw anyone out because guys are getting such a great jump, and with the limited amount of throwovers and stuff, I guess where I'm going is they've shored up their defense. Right? They've gotten a little more pop in the lineup by guys coming through and signing Adames. It's the little things for this team. Defense up the middle, which I feel like is improved. Throwing strikes, and you've got some strike throwers and Robbie Ray and Verlander coming back. And then all of the little details. In the margins, this team was just awful, like awful the last couple of years. And that's the one thing that I think, like, baseball guys, you know, you got a baseball guy at the top of the list in Buster Posey. I'm really hoping that the attention to details of all the things you're referencing and alluding to are just tightened up. They can win an extra 5 to 10 games off just that alone. It sounds obscene to say out loud, but I feel like that's right.
You are what you emphasize. You are. It's true. And I'm not, this sounds like me killing somebody else that I'm not in the 49ers locker room every day, but you've got a head coach who's a brilliant head coach with the 49ers who hates special teams and doesn't want to deal with it. So what do you get? You get the worst special teams in the league because you don't emphasize it. You are what you emphasize. And the Giants over the last few years, whatever, you know, lip service has been paid to it, have not done a good enough job of emphasizing that stuff. And there has to be, it's not just talking about it, there has to be accountability to it too. And so, we'll see how tough-minded the Giants are when some players stop doing those things, and we'll see if there's consequences to that. My favorite thing about spring training this year was there was real, actual competition. Guys were pissed at the end of spring training who didn't make this team, who expected to make this team. And I don't blame them for being mad. And I'm glad that they're mad. You should want to be in the big leagues. But that is a good, healthy precedent to set. Christian Koss is on this opening day roster. He was on nobody's radar at the start of spring. And you know what he did? He went out there, and every single time they gave him a chance, he showed his best stuff. He was an excellent defender all spring. He put the barrel on the ball. He got guys in. He had the situational at-bats. Everything that they talked about, this kid did it. And so what do? You back up what you're saying, and you reward him by putting him on the team. And I really like the precedent that sets.
Dave, if I were to ask you, like last year, no one saw Ryan Walker having the year that he had. No one saw Elliot Ramos having the year that he had. I gave up on him, and I feel foolish having done so. If you were to, and this is, it's a dark horse, random kid. Who's the guy, either in the minors or on this roster, that could have a bust out year if you had to, you know, randomly pick one, a dark horse guy? Is it a Wizenhunt, an Eldridge, a Matos, Luciano? Someone I'm not thinking of. Who would you bet on?
Yeah, that's a good hard question, because there are fewer spots this year. You know, there are. And I don't feel like Birdsong counts. I think Birdsong's going to get his chance, and I think he's going to take advantage of his chance at some point. And Roop doesn't count. He's on the radar now, not off the radar. Carson Wisenhunt looks the part to me. I think that guy is ready to go. And they just, not only did they not have room for him on the opening day roster, they hardly had room for him to really get him in games during camp. You know, he got in some games, but not enough. I do believe that guy is going to be a contributor this year to the major league team. I think a guy who's on the roster who nobody talks about, who is really talented, is Randy Rodriguez. I like him. I like his attitude. I like his approach. I think Randy is a valuable part of this team right now and is going to be more and more valuable as it goes along. And I'll give you one more who I just have a hunch at some point is going to help the Giants, and that's Wade Mechler. I am a believer in this guy. I am a believer in Wade Mechler. I think he brings some stuff that's different and weird, and he's a hard player to evaluate, and he's not big, and he doesn't have a lot of power. I believe in his talent level and drive, and I think he's going to help this team at some point.
Hey, Flem, we'll get you out of here with this one. I know you said the Giants have playoff expectations, and that is right. And hope springs eternal, but you're in a pretty rough division. You got the Dodgers, you've got the Padres, you got the Diamondbacks. What's realistic expectations for this Giants team? What do you think is fair?
If you pass even one of those teams in the final standings, to me, you've accomplished something. That's how tough the division is. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying their goal is to finish third. It is not their goal. But if they do leapfrog even one of those three teams, they will have done some good stuff this year. That's how hard the division is. My goal for this team, just asking me, is forget about them. Forget about your direct competition. I'm not saying those games aren't going to be important. I'm saying there's been too much around here, our fans, our franchise, all of us, me included, way too much whining and thinking about the Dodgers especially, but everybody else. Forget about that. Focus on who you are, the best version of you, and let the rest take care of itself. And I think that's just it's just a much healthier way to be. Have your own vision of yourself. Don't try to match star power, this and that, or young guy versus young guy. Forget about that. Like, focus on being the best version of you, and it can be a successful year for the Giants. I like the direction they're going. I think good things are coming for this team. Whether that manifests itself in a ton of wins this year, we'll see. The competition is extremely stiff. But my mantra for myself this year is to stop worrying about that and just worry about the stuff in front of this team and see where that goes.
Mm. Great stuff, Flem. Hey, it's great to hear your voice, and we'll catch up with you every week this year.
See you, pal. Bring home a win.
We got a parade starting in a few minutes. Oof. Here in Cincinnati. This franchise started in 1869. The Giants started in 1883. This is the 143rd year of Giants baseball.
Wow.
Think about that for a minute, that we're starting today. That is pretty. Remember, the world was a little different when the Giants started, and here we are, still caring, still passionate about this team. I think that's pretty cool.
Dave, I'll save it for next week. The city connects. They need to call me up. I will help them. We just need to go. The Christy Mathewson all black New York Giant ones from the early 1900s would have been better than what they did. That's for another conversation at another time. I'm so pumped for today. Go Giants!
Yeah, no City Connect focus today. Let's focus on opening day. We can get to that. See you guys.
All right, thanks, Dave. That was Dave Fleming, brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today. Again, that's Dave Fleming, brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply. It's great to hear Dave Fleming's voice.
So what did he say that I said to all of you guys this morning about the Reds? I go, guys, this is one of the original baseball clubs. Like, I get geeked out over the history of baseball.
Opening day in Cincinnati is a big deal.
It's huge. It's freaking awesome. And I'm just so pumped, man. It's just, God, I'm so pumped. He threw some dark horse names. I mean, he thinks Carson
Wade Mechler.
Wade Mechler blew my mind.
Wow.
Number
okay,
one.
Dave. I respect it.
And then obviously Carson Wisenhunt, not only like being a pitcher for the future. Like, this year.
You said you expect him to have a, like, very confident he's going to have an impact this year on the big club.
My jaw almost dropped.
He also said the Giants, and this is a quote, I wrote it down, quote, the Giants really believe they have the best left side of the infield in baseball.
I mean, let's, if you are.
It's up there for sure.
If you're sincere and you go around baseball and you look, like, okay, the Cardinals, I think, have an argument. They have a very young shortstop.
Mason Winn.
He's been up for 5 seconds. But Nolan Arenado is one of the best players in the position in the history of the game. Defensively. I'm talking about, like, if you look at the metrics and the gold gloves and all that, and he's fantastic. I don't say that flippantly. Fantastic. The Yankees have a good young shortstop. They have no third baseman.
Yeah.
That is their big hole, okay? The Orioles, maybe with Gunner, and I mean, maybe. Up the middle, Texas Rangers, Seager and Simeon. Young is their third baseman, I think, currently this year. Maybe not. I don't know if he's going to play there this year. He's been hurt. Machado doesn't really play defense anymore. Bogarts was there. I don't know. You know, Devers in Boston. I know they signed, what's his face? Come on, who did they just sign? The Boston Red Sox.
Well, Devers is going to DH, isn't he?
He was their third baseman.
Yeah.
I mean, he signed like a $300 million deal, but didn't they just sign somebody and they're going to move him over? Come on. Who did they just sign who was sitting there waiting forever? The kid Bregman. And Trevor Story, I believe, is going to play shortstop. I'm just trying to go around baseball. Look at Bo Bichette and who? You know, like, there's not a lot of names. I think that they're...
They got a case for it, no doubt.
I love Francisco Lindor. I don't know who is going to play third for the Mets every single day currently off the top of my head.
Santos? Their young guy?
Yeah.
Close the last year?
Yeah. Obviously, you got Trey Turner in Philly and Bohm. Those guys, I think, have their name in the hat. Alec Bohm is a really good ball player. Trey Turner's a really good ball player. Who else? I'm going around off the top of my head in baseball here.
Bobby Witt for the Royals, but they don't have much of a third baseman.
Bobby Witt's so sick.
He is amazing. He might take the kick just because he's that good individually.
Yes.
But, yeah. I mean, at worst, the Giants have, I don't know, top three left side of the infield 100%. In baseball?
100%.
When was the last time we were able to say that about the Giants? I mean, it was probably when Crawford and Pablo at the top of their powers?
Duffy was pretty... Well, Evan Longoria, for as much as he got hurt, was a great defensive third baseman.
You want to say, like, what, 2016, Crawford and Longo?
Yeah. He was a great defensive third baseman.
I don't hate it.
Yeah. No, I love that. These guys have more range.
Yeah.
Longo was a little, older.
And then what you expect those guys to do with the plate as well.
Yes.
Better than what you were hoping for from Longo and Crawford.
I think he might be right there. God, I'm just so pumped.
He said a lot.
I'm so pumped.
He said Willy Adames, his work ethic is infectious in a shaming way, as in, like, I'm working this hard. You have to be working this hard as a result. He sets the standard in the clubhouse.
You haven't heard the Paul Skeens, what he used to do at LSU?
What did he do at LSU?
He would walk in and be like, I've lifted three times today. What have you done? Like, right in your face. Yeah, but that's like the
shame,
whole attitude.
Shame them into working harder.
Yeah, I kind of love that.
He said, quote, Verlander looks like the guy from 2 years ago when he was still one of the best pitchers in the league.
I love the old gunslingers. I'm a sucker for them. I always feel like an old pitcher can always have a year. Not
give us 1 year.
Just give me a year. God, this is the Reds.
He says the Giants have playoff expectations. And then I asked him specifically what's fair, and he said forget the competition, which I get where he's coming from, but
look, at the extra playoff spots, all you have to do is be in the mix in September.
Yeah.
Anything can happen, as we saw. And like the Arizona Diamondbacks just a couple of years ago.
Went all the way to the World Series.
They were an 84-win team.
Because they caught fire in September.
So anything can happen. You don't have to win 110. As we saw, they won 107 and they got bounced in five. So anything can happen. I want to be the hottest team going in. And I look at it and I say to myself, like, this team has so dramatically changed. The one spot that everyone's going to eye roll is going to be first base and DH. So if Encarnacion can come back, or maybe they can swing a deal for a legitimate DH, I think they'll be taken a lot more serious. I really do. I think when you read Yaz, Ramos, 1 year wonder, Jung-Hoo Lee, we just don't know. I think a lot of people are like, we'll see. And I understand that skepticism.